Hey, I'm Kay Flay, and it's time to fall down the queerest rabbit hole once again.
I'm your host TJ, and we're thrilled to welcome LGBTQIA icon and musician Kay Flay to chat with us today. Thank you for giving up your time to chat with us today.
Oh yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Now, of course, we initially reached out to you regarding Birds of Prey, but of course, we're going to talk about more than just that for your music. But firstly, how did the Birds of Prey and you being on the soundtrack come about initially?
Well, you know, it was actually kind of there were many different ways in which I was potentially going to be a part of the soundtrack. And it's, you know, it's I'm always interested when I'm, you know, working on a project that isn't just, you know, my music or my record, because I'm pretty familiar with how that works. But, you know, especially with film and TV, there's so much like co-evolution of songs and the actual final cut that you see. So originally I had recorded a version of a different song for that movie. Didn't end up working out or making sense for kind of what they had envisioned. And and then got together with two buddies of mine, Pat and Dave. And I was like, I think headed, I don't know, on tour or something. And we kind of got the scene laid out for us, or like a potential kind of vibe for a part of the movie. And just started writing that song. I ended up finishing it and recording the rest of it in Amsterdam, actually, on a day off on tour. But just really began with like that guitar riff. And I think, you know, once we kind of understood the spirit of the movie and the rebelliousness of it and the energy of it, you know, once I understood the tone of everything, you know, for me, that's like, I don't want to say it's easy to make a song like that, but that's kind of like my spirit, you know, in a lot of ways. So it was just felt like it came really naturally. And I think, you know, the song was really sort of me imagining, like, if I were, you know, Harley Quinn, and like, you know, you're like getting over an ex and you're just kind of like basically just fed up with it. You know, there's that kind of wonderful point, I think, when somebody, instead of actively like haunting you, they just kind of become a bad memory. And that was really the inspiration for the song.
Were you familiar with the DC world prior to that at all?
You know, not really. I knew a little bit about the storyline and these characters just because I'd had like a call with the director and, you know, been given some information. But, you know, I'm really kind of a stranger to comic books and that whole world, which I think in certain ways, and I've had this conversation, I don't know how you feel about this, but I think sometimes, you know, being new to something, or entering a world with sort of no preconceptions, it gives you this cool, like, anthropological lens, you know, because you don't have anything, like, emotionally caught up in it, and you don't have you sort of feel, like, bright-eyed and curious, and that was really how I entered this project.
I think the really ironic thing, though, is that your songs have actually featured in a lot of comic-related shows, such as Riverdale, I believe Giver was in, and then I think I tweeted you like straight as soon as I watched Batwoman and was like, we've got a lesbian icon in Batwoman, and then we've got another lesbian icon in Cave Play with Black Wave on the show, so we were doing well that week.
So, yeah, yeah.
You just keep hitting comic book related things despite not being familiar.
Well, you know, it's funny, and I've like kind of talked about this with my manager and just some of my friends, but you know, my music for, you know, again, like, I don't know if it's just that like feistiness within me and that spirit, you know, music is the place where I feel like I let out a side of me that I don't normally let out in regular life. You know, it's the place where I get to be kind of wild, in a lot of ways. And I feel like that sense of wildness and of energy, you know, it's like, it's very well suited to like comics and video games and like sports and, you know, all this stuff that like just has that kind of like visceral energy, which is, it's just really cool to see that. 'Cause when I'm working on this music And, you know, I think oftentimes when you're making anything, you're so isolated in a sense. And like, you don't really understand how it would live, live another way. And, it's really cool to watch that happen and to see the songs like just kind of out there in these other worlds.
For those unaware of K-Flat's music, you'll probably be aware of Black Wave because it's been across a lot of things from games like Need for Speed Payback, Asphalt 9 Legends on mobile, and I think that's where a lot of people come from. And then, of course, it's now been on Batwoman. So I imagine that's probably one of your more sort of entry-level songs, for lack of a better word, that people sort of find you with.
Yeah, I think there are a bunch of songs off that record. It's called Everywhere Is Somewhere. Have been like the entry points. There's Black Wave. I have a song called Blood in the Cut, which a lot of people, that's their entry point as well. A song called High Enough. I think those are sort of the main, probably the main ones. Although I don't even really know. I don't know how people find out about me. I'm glad that eventually some people do, but yeah, who knows?
I mean, that's how I initially found you. I think it was the Asphalt soundtrack, and then I was like, oh, this is a good song, and then sort of got dug into it, and then it sort of just kept popping up, and I was like, okay, this is good, and then yeah, just really gotten into it since. And I think it's got a bit of there's a very tonal difference between Everywhere Is Somewhere and Solutions. For those mm-hmm. unaware, Solutions being the most recent one released last year. And that's a very big tonal shift. And I think you've mentioned in a previous interview that one was being that with Solutions, you're in love, you know what love feels like. And that's potentially the reason behind the tonal shift, because it's a very different place to where you were before compared to the first one.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, with Everywhere Somewhere, I was... you know, sort of feeling quite angsty about love and relationships and just angsty in general. You know, it was, that record came out, you know, right after Donald Trump was elected here in the States. And it just felt like this moment of tension, you know, and kind of friction in a lot of ways. And I was feeling that friction inside of my mind, and I was feeling that friction as like a member of society. And I, you know, I toured on that record and kind of ground myself down to the bone a little bit. Like I kind of lost track of, I kind of lost the plot a little bit when it came to who I was and what mattered to me. And so, you know, with Solutions, a big part of that record, you know, part of it is falling in love, but another huge part of it was just re-establishing myself in the world, you know, and kind of like re-acclimating to like quote unquote civilian life. I think it's it's one of the most exciting parts of being a touring musician and a recording artist, you know, is getting to travel and play shows. But it's also, it's a really disorienting thing to go from, you know, the sort of adrenaline rush and the chaos and the noise, and the pace of living on the road to being at home where like people, the rest of society, like has to get up for work at, you know, and so they got to go to bed. You know, whereas like I would get home and be like 10 PM rolls around. I'm like, so what's happening? Why is they're not noise, why, you know? And so that was a huge part of it too, is just me kind of like becoming a human being again, a normal human being again.
Yeah, I think that ties in well, because for those unaware, but for those of us that are really aware, you're a big part of our LGBTQIA community as well, very open about it, and I feel like it's very helpful in the industry, given artists like yourself, Hali Kiyoko. And it's seemingly helping other musicians, you know, such as a Nashville musician, Dearly, feel safe to come out within the industry that's, I suppose, not been really accepting before this as much.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, I think, you know, my observation has been that, and partially it's through touring, you know, that you do get this opportunity to see life all over the world and how people are living and how they're expressing themselves. And I think there's been a real kind of cultural shift that I felt, which is, you know, people on a large scale and in the popular discourse really, you know, considering sexuality as operating on a spectrum and thinking openly about where they might be on that spectrum, you know. And it really does feel like quite a sea change. And I think, you know, the biggest part of changing any norm in any society, like I was talking to somebody about this with regard to cigarette smoking, like, it's crazy to me that when I grew up, it was like normal to smoke inside. And now if somebody smoked a cigarette, like inside a restaurant, well, it's illegal, but like, you know, just like how quickly on some level, like something that was just ubiquitous became totally not the norm. And I think, you know, in a totally different way, but in a very positive way, it feels like, you know, the way that the sort of norm of sexuality is really shifting. And it's because there's a lot of people being open about their experiences, you know, and I happen to have a little bit of a platform, you know, where there's kind of more eyes and ears on that. But I do think it's really, you know, that's how we kind of go about as a society and as a culture and a community, just like sort of establishing a new norm, is by being open, which is really, to me, that's really exciting, you know. And I'm like, especially for, like, I meet a lot of, you know, a lot of people at the shows are young, you know, 16 to 20 years old, and they're kind of, you know, really exploring their sexuality in these huge ways in terms of their, you know, they're developing as just people. And it's really, really cool to hear about the way that they're experiencing it, because it was, you know, it's very different to how I experienced that, even though I was embedded in a super liberal and progressive and open world. It was just, again, this conception of sexuality was just kind of different.
Yeah, I think that's why you've been such a big activist behind LGBTQIA rep, and as well as just, and that ties in well to your recent song with Grandson, which is Peaches, for those who haven't listened to it yet. And it's for those unaware, I believe Grandson's done a series, including a podcast as well, that focuses on the build-up to the upcoming US election. And it's, as you said, you've got a platform there, which is, for those of us in the community, to see people like yourself, Hayley Kiyoko, dearly, that have this platform, that have music to express themselves and represent us. It's good. It's nice to see that there are people standing up for us.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I think you would agree, you know, visibility is such an integral component of any type of change, right? Like, and I think I've considered this before and I've talked about it in this context, but, you know, I often view nuance as kind of one of the main barometers of sort of power and status in society, right? So, like, if you're a straight white man, you're sort of afforded all of the nuance in the world. Like, in movies, you will be depicted as everything from, you know, a homeless person on the street, you know, dealing with mental illness, to the president of the United States or of a large country. And, like, you know, you might, there are so many different experiences that are reflected in popular culture. And I think, you know, as you think about different groups and people who, you know, have suffered discrimination and marginalization, one of the big things is that there's not a ton of nuance, right? And that's when we get into these ideas of tokenism in terms of how people are represented. And I think I only have my experience to speak to, which is that I started making music in San Francisco Bay Area, which is historically, like, you know, an incredibly open city, an important city for, you know, LGBTQ rights as it has, as they have developed, and advocacy and all that. And so that was like my culture as I started making music. And then, you know, as I've moved through the world, kind of reexamining my sexuality and then being honest about that experience. And that's just my experience. But again, my hope is that it adds to this like tapestry of nuance, if you know what I'm saying, just that like there isn't a singular experience when it comes to anybody's gender identity or sexuality. We all have our own yeah, kind of histories. And I just feel excited about being a teeny part of like, hey, there's lots of ways that this can be, and there's lots of ways to be in this world. And here's just the way I've been doing it. And I don't really know what the fuck I'm doing, but you know, I'm trying my best and, you know, and trying to be authentic about that.
I think it's great that you are authentic, because that was ties in really nicely to the next point I was going to bring up, in that a lot of your music videos, and despite the fact you don't normally read YouTube comments, I've focused on a few of them that have noted, like your early work, like Make Me Fade, Fuck My Life, or FML, as it's nicely on YouTube, is just, it's very raw and real. And if you look at Solutions and the trilogy there on YouTube as well, it's got a very, and you might be able to find the right word for it, it's got a very unique style to it compared to, I suppose, the usual glamour, for lack of a better word, of most music videos, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think the way that I've operated or found it comfortable to operate in the world in general, and certainly in my professional life as a musician, has been to stay, you know, really true to myself. You know, some people get excited and feel creative when they kind of like are a different version of themselves, right? When they're like in a costume, or they've created this alter ego or different identity. And I totally get that. And I love that. That's just never been the way that it's, that's never been the conduit for creativity. Maybe that's a good way to put it. Like for me, that the times I think when I'm making the best music I can make and being the best writer I can be, it's when I'm being honest about the parts of myself I don't always want to be honest about. You know, it's when there's a real, I was actually talking to a buddy about this morning, like the release of shame, you know, and shame is such a damaging feeling for all of us in so many ways. And to be liberated from some of that shame, if only for 3.5 minutes, you know, is really profound. And I've discovered that, you know, I am privileged and lucky to be able to kind of perform that act over and over again in an authentic way. And that's been sort of the great joy of my like professional life. One of the great joys. And so I think, you know, like I say, everybody has their way of expressing something that feels true and vital. And for me, that's just been like, how do I just stay as close to me as I can, and get as honest as I can. And that's where the tension lies, and it's productive tension. And it's, yeah, you know, I think I've tried to visually represent that in videos and of course with the music itself too.
I think that's why a lot of us can relate to it, because it's always good. And that's why I enjoy the songs I can relate to more than just, you know, something that's sort of poppy, whereas you've got something that you can relate to and go, yeah, that's me. I mean, that's why, that's how I fell in love with Taylor Swift. I was like, yeah, that's me. That's me. That's me. And I think that's what we're after a lot of the time, is just relate to it and go, yeah, that's me. I can see myself. I'm not by myself in this, you know. This musician's going through the same thing. So I think it's good to see that sort of vulnerability and the rawness, regardless of, you know, how popular you are as a musician or whatever. It's nice to see that vulnerability within lyrics. Even if it's like an upbeat poppy song, there's still usually the underlying lyrics, and they hit really personally. I think that's where it lands really well for a lot of us. And also with you don't really make a big deal of, yeah, I'm gay, this I'm just going to put in all my music videos kind of thing, which is, I think, and that's why others can relate to you as well. It's just because it's who you are. It doesn't define you. It's just you being yourself and being vulnerable and being open and being raw. And I think that's what we're all after.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. I think it is the wonderful thing about art and music and all these kinds of creative expression is it does just remind us like we really are all the same. Like, I know we end up sort of all having different trajectories in life, but just these fundamental human struggles, like that's we're all going through the same shit, and it's sort of the job of a musician, I think, to distill that feeling and those experiences into, a song that people can relate to. Like that's our little contribution, but it's really important, I think, especially like, we're talking, I feel like the world is the pace of the world is moving, exponentially quickly, and it's currently at the moment a little bit terrifying. It is really important, I think, for us all to remember this kind of shared humanity and shared experience of like love and pain, and it's like pain is a part of life, and it's not even bad. Pain isn't misery. It's just a part of life, like loss and suffering and pain. These are things everybody goes through, and instead of trying to avoid it, I think you experience it, you talk about it, and then you move through it. And that's all I'm trying to do.
Just before we wrap, is there another album on the way?
Oh, yeah. I
Or
mean, I'm never stopped. Yeah,
new
I'm
music? Okay, new
working.
music, because I know a
New
lot of artists are
music,
going.
new music.
Some
Yes.
artists are going EPs, some are going albums.
Totally. I'm still in full disclosure. We're still, kind of thinking about it's early stages, right? So right now I'm in the phase of I'm just producing music at a rapid clip, which is really exciting. And I'm understanding the tone, the headspace, what are the sounds going to be like. But yeah, 100% new music still. I got more new music this spring. Yeah, just feeling really, really excited, and lots on the way.
Well, it sounds like we'll have to try and catch up with you in the spring then, once you drop some new music for us.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for giving up your time to chat with us today.
Of course. Thanks so much,
It's
TJ. I
been an
appreciate it.
absolute honour. I've been your host, TJ, alongside Caveplay, and we'll catch you in the next episode.